Say the word, Mr. Sorg.
Okay, I'll just do a clap, okay? To sync these two up.
All right.
Oh, that's almost a clap.
This morning, the second service this morning.
Yep.
A standing ovation. You looked like you got a little choked up there.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, it was encouraging.
What was going through your mind at that moment?
Appreciation. Yeah, appreciation for the understanding, for the graciousness, for the willingness to respect the fact that a mistake was made.
What has surprised you about the backlash?
The degree to which those who espouse the tolerance are so intolerant. That's probably the thing that I've learned the most, is that those who are asking for us to be more tolerant have been incredibly hateful in their intolerance.
Give me an example.
Someone should assassinate Sean Harris.
Did you take that seriously?
I don't know. 2 years ago, a preacher was killed in Indiana in a sanctuary. So, certainly thoughts came through my mind.
How many death threats did you get?
I stopped looking. I started just deleting everything as fast as I could. I couldn't take any more profane words being said.
Did you contact authorities?
We did talk to the police, yes.
And what did they tell you?
I let my executive pastor take care of that.
What have you been told about your security?
We haven't done anything. Yeah. We just had security here this morning in case the protesters, but that's it. We haven't done anything. I haven't changed my routine in any way.
Speaking of the protesters had a question for you, the ones I went to speak to. They have a question for you. They want to know, how could you talk about, in any context whatsoever, talk about physical violence toward a child?
No. I don't classify what I said in any way, shape, or form as physical violence. It's really disturbing that they're classifying what I said as physical violence. That's not who I am.
But those words that you said...
Those were strong words, David. Those were strong words... that within the context of a congregation who knows that their pastor is crazy about children and was doing his very best to affirm the importance of developing manhood in boys and womanhood in girls, they understood that that's what their pastor meant, nothing more.
Give him a good punch.
Sure.
Squash like a cockroach. Crack that wrist.
Right.
What exactly were you telling your congregation to do here?
I was telling them in strong words that we're not careful. What did I learn this week? Be more careful with your words.
What would you have said differently?
I would say straighten. That's one thing I would say. Straighten that wrist.
What about the punch remark?
Sure, the punch remark. You know, it's amazing how punch has been equated to inciting violence against gay youth. That's not what I meant. But do I think that dads ought to wrestle with their boys? Absolutely. Do I think that we ought to continue having that physical contact between dads and their sons? Yes. Boys play rough. If you have a son, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of my most precious memories as a child is when my dad and I would just go at it.
When you said, give him a good punch, what exactly did you mean?
A shove, an affirmation. You see coaches give their players a good punch, a good slug. It's a way of affirming the gender distinctions between a male and a female. Of course I can see how those words were taken out of context, but that's because I had no idea the degree to which someone was able to cut, edit, chop, and then upload to a blogosphere and then incite hatred towards us. But when you're a pastor who's been preaching to the same people for 5.5 years, in many regards, you develop a relationship with your people. They know you and you know them.
Some of the criticism has been about your congregation as well and way they reacted to you.
Absolutely.
There was laughter in the congregation.
That's right.
I heard a few amens on that recording.
Yeah, because they knew what I meant. David, they knew that I wasn't advocating violence against gays, lesbians, youth. That wasn't what I was doing. This is our monthly bulletin right here, David. This is the letter that I wrote 2 weeks ago for it, for the May one. These are my statements. This is not about homophobia. This is not irrational fear or hatred that drives our vote. They know who I am. They know that I preach the love of Jesus Christ. They know that I wasn't inciting violence against gay youth.
And yet, when your words go outside of this church onto the internet, they sound hateful to some people.
Absolutely. I know they did. I listened to myself and thought, is that what you meant? And I said, of course not. But I can understand how someone misunderstood that. So this has been a great learning experience for Sean Harris and how he needs to be more careful with the words that he uses and more deliberate. And if I was to misspeak again like that, I hope that I would immediately stop and clarify myself. Of course, you know that wouldn't have kept even from then, because the person can actually chop off the clarification. How disingenuous would that be, that you would correct yourself to your people, they would hear that, but then the person who takes the video would edit that such that even the correction wouldn't be included in the remarks. It's almost as though you have to be perfect with all word choices.
You issued a lengthy explanation for your comments, but your apology seems somewhat limited. You only apologized for inadvertently offending some people.
You sure? I'm not going to apologize for the gender distinctions that are in the Word of God.
But what about your words? Were you apologizing for your words?
I was apologizing for my failure to say the right thing, to be more careful, to make sure that no one thinks that Sean Harris is suggesting, as was said, although I never said this, beat the gay out of children. Those weren't my words. I didn't even use that. I don't even believe there are such thing as gay children. So I wasn't saying that. I was dealing with effeminate behavior and instructing parents to affirm the manhood or the womanhood in their children.
You've apologized for inadvertently offending people. Is there anything else that you'd like to apologize for?
No, I don't think that I need to apologize for preaching to my people what the Word of God says. That's my responsibility. I apologize for not being clear in the words that I used. At this point, David, even the critics are saying he's not sincere, he's a liar, he's still lying. So it's very apparent to me that there's nothing I'm going to be able to say that would satisfy them.
Beyond what your religious beliefs are, there were some things in the sermon that have also been attacked. In the sermon, you never really refer to homosexuals as people. You use the word dude.
Oh, that's a common. Go back and listen. I use that phrase all the time, dude and dudette. That's just part of who I am. Again, I'm preaching to the people that are assembled here. And when you develop a relationship between the preacher and his people, and they know exactly what I meant by that. There's no degree to which I'm not affirming the personhood of an individual who has homosexual tendencies or is practicing that behavior.
But you preach tolerance. Is it tolerance to refer to gay men strictly as dudes?
I refer to all men as dudes. That wasn't a specific reference to their gender. I was referring to males. That dude is a gender, and dudette is a common phrase for me. It's fun. There's nothing derogatory in that.
In previous interviews, you've indicated that you described what you used as hyperbole, and you took your cues from the New Testament and Jesus' teachings.
I don't know whether it would be a cue. I think that I was trying to relate, because so many people have told me you're not Christ-like, you don't know what Jesus would. They've just said over and over again, Jesus wouldn't like you, Jesus hates you, Jesus wants you to go to hell. So I was trying to show them that even our Lord, our Savior, uses very strong language, and yet we know that he doesn't mean, as I said this morning in the sermon, he doesn't mean cut a wrist off or cut a hand off. Nor did I mean break a wrist.
But Jesus never suggested or used any words that would be misconstrued as violence toward children.
Nor did I. A punch is not violence towards children. A shove is not violence towards children. I wasn't inciting violence. That is a mischaracterization of what I said.
but crack that wrist.
Well, you keep going back to that. We've already clarified that. Straighten that wrist out. Affirm their manhood. Teach them that they're a boy. Develop that in your son. We need boys to be boys in this country.
You've talked about the words you would have chosen. And I don't want to sound like I'm being disrespectful to your faith when I ask you this question. What would Jesus have said in this situation?
I have no idea what Jesus would say. I have no idea. You know, the Apostle John says that the books cannot contain all that Jesus said when he was on this earth. And so I'm not going to try to say, well, Jesus would have said this. I do my very best to be faithful to the text. And I was trying to strengthen the father's resolve to teach manhood.
There was something else also in the sermon. You were talking about part of your belief that homosexuals choose homosexual behavior. That is a choice. You referred to this, you compared this to a thief choosing to steal.
Okay, that wasn't me comparing it. The Apostle Paul does that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6.
Right, when I say you were the one saying this on the podium that day.
That's right.
And then you apologize for inadvertently offending anyone who might have been listening to the sermon. Are people not supposed to be offended by that if they are homosexuals?
Oh, the Word of God speaks for itself. I am not apologizing for the Word of God. I'm apologizing to anyone who thinks that Pastor Sean Harris was advocating violence against gay youth. And if they'll listen to the sermon in context, they understand I wasn't doing that.
You've also, in other interviews, indicated that you said what you were, you described what you were saying. You said sometimes we all say stupid things.
Yes.
What part of this do you believe was
stupid? Sure, I don't mind saying what I said was stupid. I told the youth that. Crack was a stupid word. Straighten would have been a much better word. Perhaps punch was a stupid word because of its connection to advocating violence. Perhaps I should have said wrestle with your son, do a guy thing together. Maybe that would have been less misunderstood. But nearly everything that I say can be misunderstood in one form or fashion.
Did you do harm to the reputation of this church?
I sure hope not.
Are you afraid you might have?
No, I don't think so.
There were protesters outside today. Not every church has those on Sunday morning.
That's true. Yeah. I've told several people this week, this has been a great learning experience. And I'm glad that the Lord allowed me to go through this. And I'm glad that the church is so gracious.
And what have you learned this week?
Be more careful with what you say. Listen closely to what you say. If you make a mistake with words, retract what you're saying as fast as you can, as quick as you can. If you say something stupid in a sermon again, don't upload it to the World Wide Web. Edit it in your own shop and then upload it.
This retraction that you've put out, you retracted your words, but not their meaning.
I'm not going to retract the gender distinctions that I believe that are in the Word of God. Not going to retract that. There's no reason for me to do that. God made them male. God made them female. That wasn't my decision. That was God's decision.
You also have on your website clearly what you teach to the congregation here about physical punishment toward children.
Yes, we've had that up on the website for 2 years.
Is there any correlation to what you were describing in your sermon the other day to the policy that you have about spanking your children?
That's the whole issue, David. I wasn't seeing effeminacy as misbehavior that needs to be punished like selfishness in the same sense. I was telling the dads in the congregation that affirm the manhood in your boy. Affirm that. Enjoy that. Treat your daughter different than your boy. Your boy is different than your daughter. Do tea with your daughter and do something different with your son.
Is it okay to hit a child?
Is it okay to hit a child? I'm going to say it's okay to spank a child.
Is spanking different from what you were suggesting in your sermon?
Oh, it's completely different. There's no correlation. You can't even pull the two together. That's not what I meant in any way, shape, or form. One of the activities that I enjoy the most is going to camp with the youth of the church in the school. and we often go tubing. You heard me make reference to that today. And when we get on that tube, David, it is fun to throw each other off that tube and to see who's the man of the tube. I would never do that with girls. Why? That's a guy thing. There's a difference.
Getting back to the standing ovation this morning, what was your congregation saying to you at that moment?
Well, I don't know. That would be difficult to say. I hope they were saying thank you.
Well, you seem a little overcome emotionally there for a moment. You were hearing something.
Absolutely. Affirmation, graciousness, support. I mean, think about the number of hateful things that have been said about this church. These are people that have never been here. They have no idea who they are. They've made me and us out to be monsters. That's not who we are. That's not who we are in any way, shape, or form. They're judging this church off of 2% of a sermon, one sermon of hundreds of sermons delivered. And the very person that uploaded that to the blog didn't even have the nerve to finish my thought when I said, we are to be loving, we are not to be homophobic. You are to have the gay person over to your house for Thanksgiving dinner. In the same sermon, I said those words.
Have the gay person over for Thanksgiving dinner, but not their partner.
No, I did not say that.
You suggested it was okay not to have their partner.
No, what I said is you apply the same standards that you would apply to your daughter. So if you would allow your daughter or your son to bring their boyfriend to dinner, then let them do that. But in the same way that you would not allow your daughter to have the boyfriend shack up at night in the bedroom, you would not have the partner spend the night either. That's what I was teaching.
I misunderstood. But when you explain again then what you were saying when you say you can invite.
What I was saying is, David, we should not have dualistic standards in the church. If we, for example, me as a pastor, I preach as much against adultery as I do homosexuality. I don't elevate homosexuality above adultery because both are sins and an affront to God. So what I was saying is if you would allow your daughter to bring her boyfriend to Thanksgiving dinner, then allow that same standard for the partner. But in the way that you would not allow your daughter to bring her boyfriend into the bedroom, then you would not allow the son to bring his boyfriend into the bedroom. I was saying, don't have a different level of standards based on one sexual behavior or the other.
Was there any particular email, any particular letter, any particular message you got from anyone in the public this week that really surprised you?
No,
anyone that stands out in your mind?
Oh, there were thousands. I mean, I can't tell you the number of emails that had the effing word in it. Why such hatred? You're criticizing me for advocating violence, and yet you're reciprocating with phenomenal hatred. I don't understand that. If you have a valid point and you feel like you need to instruct me, then use kind and gracious words, just like I said.
Is it possible that your words were perceived as hateful?
Well, it's not possible. They were. They were perceived as being hateful. But I haven't retaliated with hate towards those who have been so hateful to me. If they're challenging me as being hateful, then show me what loving looks like so that I can follow your example. But to retaliate with more hate is not solving the problem. I haven't retaliated with any hate this week.
In this church, in response to the feedback, to the backlash that you've received, in this church, what does loving look like?
In what sense?
If you're responding to this negative feedback you're getting, how do you respond lovingly? What form does that take?
Kind words. Our pastoral staff has responded kindly to people on the phone. We've answered their questions with graciousness. We haven't cursed them out as they're cursing at us. We haven't responded with the same words that they're responding to me. If you would look at my Twitter account, David, you can't imagine. I can't even look at it right now. It's so filled with vileness. So that's what that looks like.
You're worried about your family? Their safety?
God's in control. God allowed this for a purpose, and God's in control.
3 police cars out front today.
Sure. We're commanded to make wise decisions. I'm not going to do anything foolish. We have a responsibility to protect this congregation. So it seemed prudent in our sense to do that.
Are you taking any steps to protect your family?
We had to change our phone number to an unlisted phone number so that we could get a good night's rest. We wanted to make sure that we had a phone that was plugged in so we could call 911. And we couldn't do that the first night because we had our phone number out in the open. And so every single person in the world, it seemed like, was calling nonstop.
Do you think anything was said today in church that might put this behind you?
I think that they'll just move on to the next target.
Do you think that this was a political motivation behind the backlash?
I don't think, because
I know there's an important vote coming up here on Tuesday.
Sure, the North Carolina Marriage Protection Amendment will be voted on.
You wouldn't have been speaking about this, the timing anyway, you wouldn't have been speaking about this when you did if it weren't for that vote coming up
on
Tuesday.
That's correct, yes.
Do you think the backlash has been politically motivated as well?
Absolutely. There's no question if this sermon was delivered 4 weeks later, let's say June, I don't believe any of this would have happened.
You think no one would have been paying attention?
Absolutely not. We're just a small church in a small town.
Are you reconsidering perhaps putting your sermons on the World Wide Web now?
No.
You're going to stay out there.
I would have pulled the sermon off the internet already if I was going to do that. I stand behind 98% of what I said that day. The sermon transcript is 17 pages long, single-spaced, and we're dealing with one paragraph of a 17-page single-spaced transcript. So no. No, we're going to keep using the World Wide Web for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And choose your words more carefully?
Every day I'm going to try to choose my words more carefully. Yeah.
Okay. So anything else you'd like to add?
No.
Okay.
Just let me get a couple wide shots on this camera, if you wouldn't mind.
Just something to edit with.
Okay.
How many people are downloading our messages, Pastor Sean, from the web?
Oh, we average 20,000 downloads a month.
I mean, that's a pretty good
of sermons?
Yes. So we wouldn't stop that.
Mm-hmm.
Scotland, Ireland, Russia. We're all over the world. Yeah. Canada. Yeah. But we wouldn't change that.
Any words of support that have come to mind?
Incredible amounts. Stay by the stuff. Keep preaching the word. Be faithful, be strong, be courageous.
Have you received any contact from your peers, fellow pastors and other churches?
All kinds of text messages, local messages.
Anybody with any sort of constructive criticism on how you should approach this?
They've already heard my apology. They know I've learned from it. Mm-hmm. They know my learning curve's been like this week. They don't have to help it.
Yep. That's a pretty steep angle.
Absolutely. Yep. I don't mind saying that.
Was it just coincidence, the sermon that you had today, and the language you were highlighting from Christ?
There's nothing coincidence about that.
Mm-hmm.
I told the church last week on Sunday what text we'd be preaching from. They know where we're going next week. I don't pick texts from week to week like that. Mm-hmm.
A lot of what you were saying today seemed to fall right in line with what you were trying to explain with hyperbole.
Isn't God amazing how he did that for us? Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Can I go ahead and take that off for you?
Thank you much.
Okay,
appreciate it, Steve.
Nice meeting you, sir.
Nice meeting you. Thank you very much. And thanks for being so accommodating with everybody here. We appreciate